Today is Christ the King Sunday. The scripture lessons are from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. Today's message is titled, Who is to Come? Hear the word from Scripture, Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it. Because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is. And who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Here ends the first reading from Scripture. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 24th verse. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, man will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the four ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happen, you know that it is near. Right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going the way. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Here ends the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love. And show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. There is a gentleman whose acting I appreciate. He is from the golden age of Hollywood and has won many awards and has been bestowed many honors from knighthood in England to the Presidential Medal of Freedom, a Grammy for spoken word. He's 22nd on the list of 100 Years, 100 Stars, an Academy Award for Best Actor, when that actually meant something as Best Actor, a Golden Globe for Best Actor, Lifetime Achievement Awards. But one thing makes him stand out for me. As a gentleman, besides his acting, it's his desire to be known as one of the best actors. No hyphenation to highlight some characteristic about himself, where he came from, or some physical characteristic, no hyphenation. No, his desire was simply to be known as one of the best actors ever. He's a gentleman. Four films of his in particular, I've enjoyed watching them more than once. Lilies of the Field, where he plays a handyman building a chapel in answer to a prayer of German nuns praying for a chapel. To Sir With Love, where he plays a teacher in British inner city schools, and Lulu makes her film debut there, along with singing the title song to Sir With Love. In the Heat of the Night, playing Virgil Tibbs, the police detective from Philadelphia, investigating a murder in a small Mississippi town, which spun off a television series. And then, acting alongside Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. While Spencer Tracy was pushing through his illness to complete filming his role, and Spencer Tracy died 17 days after finishing filming of his role. In this film, this gentleman portrayed a doctor and a widower who, after a 10-day whirlwind romance, will marry the daughter of parents portrayed by Tracy and Hepburn, coming to dinner to get the blessing of her parents, both of her parents. Perhaps you've guessed by now the gentleman, the actor of whom I admire and I'm speaking. Yes, it's Sidney Poitier. He's a golden age of Hollywood actor. With the movies and with Tracy and Hepburn, that classic, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Who? Who's coming to dinner? A matter of the heart and character of the person. Yes, who is the person in their nature? Who is the person in their character? That's what matters. Who is coming? Who is to come? Not come as a dinner guest. Nay, coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take us, the redeemed, home. To take home. To take us, the redeemed, home. We, the ones redeemed by His precious blood. Why does He come? Because He loves us and wants us to be with Him, as it is written in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. Love, loves us so greatly that He has freed us with a very precious, precious thing, His own blood. That is who is to come, the one who redeems and saves. But you can rightly say, He has come. Indeed, He has come, and yet, still, He is to come. He has come as the incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary through the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit. How very God of very God became human, fully human, I don't have the wisdom to explain, and neither does any mortal man have the capacity to explain the wonder that the Creator of all creation entered into creation, becoming a creature of creation, fully identifying and entering in this world just like any other baby, by conception and by birth. Who was, who is to come, was a little baby boy born in Bethlehem with angelic choruses announcing to the shepherds, the Savior has been born. Indeed, the Savior was born. He is Christ, Christ Jesus, the Son of the Father. He is God Almighty. Years later, 33-ish or so years later, across from Jerusalem, sitting on the Mount of Olives, looking across the Kidron Valley to the temple of the living God. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, privately they come up to Jesus and ask, When? Tell us when this will all happen. For early in the day, after a disciple commented on the magnificence of the temple and all the buildings, Jesus said, all of this will be thrown down. Not one stone will be left upon another. When will all this happen? What will be the signs that these things will be fulfilled? As we sit here a couple thousand years later or so, are the signs pointing to the things coming closer? I would say they are. We could dig into them and become focused on such signs as the growing disregard for truth, the two-tier system of justice operating and playing favorites, parents being labeled as domestic terrorists by the United States Attorney General, and having heavily armed FBI SWAT team actually conduct a raid on one of these parents in Colorado, busting down the front door with a battering ram, dragging her outside and cuffing her before the eyes of her children, terrorizing the whole family with guns drawn. Mainstream media airing live the prosecutor's closing arguments, laying out the case to the jurors. And the very same mainstream media news cut away and did not air the defense closing arguments, laying out the defense case before the jurors. This action is unconscionable. And it makes plain to see mainstream media no longer reports the news, but tells only what fits the template to further their agenda. Where is the Chinese tennis player? What has happened to her after she spoke up about being assaulted by a retired top party official? You know, Chinese church pastors, they're being ordered what to preach. Austria, locking down the unvaccinated. And what has happened to Australia, that fun-loving place of putting more shrimp on the Barbie? The deafening silence surrounding pro athletes' careers ended by the side effects, let alone the athletes in the prime of their health, healthy as can be, dead from cardiac arrest, such as Italian soccer player Vittoria Campo passes away in Palermo. And 2 months earlier, her brother, Alessandro, passed away. The list is growing. There is much more from the headlines that we could gather and could be pointed to. And what about the regards to religious freedom? and freedom in general being lost to draconian totalitarianism, such that Jesus said, Mark chapter 13, verse 23, "So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time." But continuing in this manner is like chasing rabbits down a hole. It takes our eyes, one's focus, one's heart away from the greater things. Inasmuch the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, "No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." What are we to do? Keep watch. Be alert. It's written in Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 34. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each one with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." Keep watch for the owner. It's about the who. Who? The owner has gone away, and the owner will come back. Keep watch for the owner. In the meantime, do your best to go about the day doing what needs to be done in the day. All the while, keeping an eye open for the one who is to come. I find this fascinating. I really find this fascinating that Jesus describes, here in Mark chapter 13, describes these things with the image of a man giving his servants authority to do the work required while he goes away on a journey. The servants are instructed to keep watch, stay vigilant, especially the doorkeeper. "Be vigilant, for you do not know when the master of the house will return." I find this fascinating because, in a sense, this little description is a summary of all history. Think about this. Summary of all history. "For in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Lord created man in his own image and gave man authority." The Lord gave man authority. It's written in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Authority is given. During those moments in the garden, the Lord God would come and walk in the garden. The Lord would walk in the cool of the day. It's written in Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 8. "Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" The fall of man. The fall of man so separated man from the Lord God, banishment from Eden came with a cherubim wielding a flaming sword, guarding the way to the tree of life. What happened was the banishment of man from the presence of the Lord God. The Lord God no longer walks in the cool of day amongst the creation. In a sense, the owner has left, and man, who had already been given authority from the owner, is now overseeing the care of the owner's property. One day, the owner will return to claim all that is his. One day, the Lord God will return to claim all that is his own. Suddenly, unexpectedly, the owner will return. Likewise, suddenly, unexpectedly, the Lord will return. Keep watch. Keep watch for the one who is to come. Who? Who is coming? Who is the one for whom we are to keep vigilant watch? And guess who's coming to dinner? The emphasis was on the who. Who? The man. What's his nature? What's his character? And he wants to marry our daughter? Our daughter wants to marry him. The emphasis was on his nature and character as a man, as a doctor, as a widow, but as a man. And for us, the who is coming. Focus on the nature and character of the person, the one for us who is to come. Who is this one for us who is to come? None other than Jesus Christ, who was crucified and risen. The one who loves us so much. It is written in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Jesus tells of his coming, speaking of what will happen on that unknown day, unknown hour, take place. He's speaking of that all just a couple of days before he would be betrayed, crucified, and die. Through his loving action of laying his life down, willingly shedding his blood, Jesus would bring to fulfillment, bring to completion all that is written in the law and the prophets. And Jesus would open the way to heaven. Just a few days before dying, Jesus says, Mark chapter 13, beginning of verse 26, at that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Before his death, Jesus was already looking towards the day of his coming in the fullness of his glory. Glory he laid aside to take on humanness and die for our sins. Oh, the grandeur of what is to come. So great, so brilliantly radiant across the sky it radiates. More wondrous than the most beautiful sunrise with those first fingers of light stretching across the sky as the brightness of day breaks into the darkness of night and brings the hope of a new morning. Christ crucified, dead and buried, rising on the third day. Luke testifies following careful and thorough investigation. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he, that's Jesus, showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jumping down to verse 9 of chapter 1 of Acts. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking, that's the disciples, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. In the same manner you have seen him go into heaven. After those 40 days, the resurrected Christ left. Jesus left in a visible, definitive manner. He ascended and was taken out of sight into heaven. We are now in this in-between time. Victory over sin and death has been won on the cross. We are forgiven by the blood of Christ shed on the cross. The redeeming payment has been made in full. The wrath of the living, holy God has been borne by Jesus on the cross completely and thoroughly through. The redeeming work is finished. It has been completed. Now, we wait for the day to come. We wait with hope. For who is coming? Who is coming? Through all these things, through all those things Jesus spoke about, recorded in Mark chapter 13, those things will happen. Nation will rise against nation. Two world wars did not put the end to wars. Nations will rise against nations again. As it's written in Daniel chapter 5, the handwriting is on the wall. These things are to come. These past months foreshadowing the rise of totalitarianism. Orwellian warnings are replete. Still, the gospel must be preached. The Holy Spirit will even guide your speaking too. It's written there in Mark chapter 13. All these warnings can cause one to lose heart, to be discouraged and give up. Hold on. Don't give up. For it is written in Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 23. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days following that distress, did you hear that? But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. As it's written in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Who is to come? Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen, and now glorified Son of the Father, coming to bring the redeemed home. For those who believe, your Savior is coming to take you home. For the others, the judge is coming to bring justice. He will judge the living and the dead. It's written there in the scripture. But you, the redeemed, your salvation awaits. Our life is not about material things of this world. Our life is about the spiritual things yet to come. What this means is that no matter what may happen in this life, what may come, all those warnings in Mark chapter 13, no matter what those things may do, your hope, your peace, your joy, your love will increase in depth, and fervency. For you will know. You will know that glorious day is coming. It's coming closer and closer and closer. And soon the trumpet will sound, the angelic chorus will proclaim, and the very presence of the living God, who was, who is, and who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, very God of very God, will welcome you into his presence forever and ever and ever and ever. And I can go on forever and ever and ever. Can we comprehend the without end? The glorious day is coming. The glorious day is coming. Who is to come? Your Savior, your Lord, your King. The one who loves you more than you can even comprehend. For he is the crucified one, shedding his blood for you. He is the risen one, rising and bringing life, conquering death for you. He is the ascended one, who will come again one day. And when he comes, he will come in the fullness of his glory for you, to be his very own in the presence of the Father forever and ever and ever. Christ the King is coming. We await the day. Until then, We will keep watch, proclaim the gospel, trust the Holy Spirit to give us the words to proclaim when all those things in Mark chapter 13 come to be. We will still proclaim the glory of the living God. For the glory is coming. The glorious day is coming. Who's to come? Your Savior, your Lord, your King, very God of very God. Amen and amen.